So now we come to the subject of non-dualism. Keep in mind that whether we are talking about an attitude of learning or spiritual sight, we are always referring to a state of mind, an inner attitude, and not something that is seen with the body's eyes in the world. We'll begin with a simple idea. Do you remember the old riddle that if a tree falls in the middle of the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it still make a sound?
I sure do. You can't prove it, so people always end up arguing about it.
Well, what would you say the answer is? I promise not to argue with you.
I'd say the tree always makes a sound, whether there's someone there to hear it or not.
And you'd be enormously wrong, even on the level of form. What the tree does is send out sound waves. Now, sound waves, like radio waves, or for that matter, energy waves, require a receiver to pick them up. There are many radio waves going through this room right now, but there's no sound because there's no receiver tuned into them. The human or animal ear is a receiver. So if a tree falls in the middle of the forest and there's no one there to hear it, then it does not make a sound. Sound isn't sound until you hear it, just as a wave of energy doesn't appear to be matter until you see or touch it. To make a long story short, it should be evident from this that it takes two to tango. In order for anything to interact, you must have duality. Indeed, without duality, there is nothing to interact with. There can be nothing in a mirror without an image that appears to be opposite it, attached to an observer to see it. Without duality, there is no tree in the forest. As some of your scientists of quantum physics know, duality is a myth. And if duality is a myth, then not only is there no tree, but there's no universe. Without you to perceive it, the universe is not here. But logic would have to dictate that if the universe is not here, then you are also not here. In order to make the illusion of existence, you must take oneness and seemingly divide it, which is precisely what you've done. It's all a trick. The concept of oneness is hardly an original one. However, the question that few people ever ask is, what am I really one with? Although most of those who do ask this question would say the answer is God. They then make the error of assuming they and this universe were created in their present form by the divine. That is not true, and it leaves the seeker in a position where even if he masters the mind, as Buddha certainly did, he will still not reach God in a permanent way. Yes, he will achieve oneness with the mind that made the duality waves. This mind, in a non-place that transcends all of your dimensions, is completely outside the system of time, space, and form. This is the logical and proper extension of non-duality, yet it's still not God. It is, in fact, a dead end, or better yet, a dead beginning. This explains why Buddhism, which is obviously the world's most psychologically sophisticated religion, does not handle the issue of God. It's because Buddha didn't handle the issue of God while he was still in the body that you call Buddha. It's also the reason we'll be making the distinctions between non-dualism and pure non-dualism. When Buddha said, "I am awake," he meant that he realized that he was not actually a participant in the illusion, but the maker of the entire illusion. Still, there's another step required, where the mind that is the maker of the illusion chooses completely against itself in favor of God. Of course, someone of Buddha's tremendous accomplishment had a snap of it, quickly going on to the exact same awareness as Jay. But this was done by Buddha in a lifetime the world doesn't even know about. It's not unheard of for people to achieve Jay's level of enlightenment in obscurity, and for the world to think they achieved it in a more famous lifetime when they really didn't. Most people who approach true spiritual mastery are not interested in being leaders. At the same time, there are people who are highly visible when, rather than being true masters of spirituality and metaphysics, they are merely exhibiting the symptoms of an extroverted personality.
So, how did Jay experience his oneness with God?
That's coming. One of the reasons we're telling you these things is so we can put some of his statements into context for you. One of the things he had to realize was not only that the universe doesn't exist, but that he didn't exist on any level other than pure spirit. That's something that practically no one really wants to learn. It's terrifying to all people on an unconscious level, because it means the relinquishment of any individuality or personal identity, now and forever. As we said, we are here for the Holy Spirit's purposes, but most people haven't got a clue what they are or how they got here. What you said is too limited. It's not just that I don't exist, you don't exist, and neither does the false universe. When we talk about returning to reality and God, we're not just blowing hypothetical smoke. You can't have both you and God. It's not possible. You can't have both your universe and God. The two are mutually exclusive. You'll have to choose. There's no hurry, for time is a hypothetical smoke, and we'll relay some of Jay's teachings to you on how to escape it. It's not easy, but it's doable. The Holy Spirit wouldn't give you a way out that wasn't workable. You'll be afraid of losing your identity at times. That's why we went out of our way earlier to point out that you're really giving up nothing in exchange for everything. But it will take time and more experience for you to have faith in that.
So non-dualism is like the old teaching that you live as if you are in this world, but your attitude is that of the two seeming worlds, the world of truth and the world of illusion, only the truth is true and nothing else is true.
Yes, a delightful student. Even then, people make the mistake of thinking the illusion was made by truth, so they still make the error of attempting to bring legitimacy to the illusion rather than giving it up. You cannot hope to break the cycle of birth and death as long as you maintain this confusion. The unconscious mind goes to such lengths to avoid God that you will either ignore him, or even more likely, you will attempt to devolve non-dualism into dualism. From what we've said, you should get the sense that with the attitude of non-dualism, you are acquiring the ability to question all of your judgments and beliefs. Now you realize there isn't really any such thing as a subject and an object. There is only oneness. Still unknown to you is that this is an imitation of genuine oneness, for few have learned to make the distinction between being one with the mind that has seemingly separated itself from God and being one with God. The mind must be returned to Him. Yet traditional non-dualism is a necessary step along the way, for you have learned you can't really separate one thing from anything else, nor can you separate anything from you. As hinted at earlier, this idea is well expressed by the models of quantum physics. Newtonian physics held that objects were real and outside of you with a separate existence. Quantum physics demonstrates that this is not true. The universe is not what you assume it to be. Everything that appears to exist is really inseparable thought. You can't even observe something without causing a change in it on the subatomic level. Everything is in your mind, including your own body. As aspects of Buddhism correctly teach, the mind that is thinking everything is one mind, and this mind is completely outside the illusion of time and space. What no philosophy except one teaches is a truth that will seldom be well received by anyone, the fact that this mind is itself also an illusion. It should be self-evident that if there is only oneness, then anything else that appears to exist must have been made up. Furthermore, and this is an issue that no teaching has satisfactorily supplied the motivation for until very recently, it must have been made up for what appeared to be a damn good reason. Thus, instead of judging the world and everything in it, perhaps it would be more helpful for you to ask what value you saw in making it up in the first place. It may also be wise to ask yourself what would be a more appropriate response to it now.
Which brings us to Jay's attitude. He is the awareness of pure non-dualism, the end of the road, the final stop. You should keep in mind that each of the four major attitudes of learning are long roads in themselves, and you will sometimes bounce around like a ping-pong ball in between them. The Holy Spirit will correct you all along the way and set you back in the right direction. Don't feel bad when you temporarily lose your way. There is no one who has ever walked this earth, including Jay, who did not give in to temptation in some way. The myth of living a perfect life in terms of behavior is self-defeating and unnecessary. All that's necessary is to be willing to receive correction. Just as a navigator or computer constantly corrects the course of a jet airliner along its route, the Holy Spirit is always correcting you, no matter what you may appear to do or on what level of spiritual awareness you may appear to be. It may be possible to ignore Him, but it is never possible to lose Him. The jet airliner is always going off course, but through constant correction, it arrives at its destination. And so will you arrive at your destination. It's a done deal. And you couldn't screw it up even if you tried. The real question is, how long do you want to prolong your suffering? It's not too early for you to start thinking along the lines of pure non-dualism. You won't always stick with it, but it doesn't hurt to start. You'll be starting to think like Jay, listening to the Holy Spirit like he did. But eventually, we'll have to break this pure non-dualism down to two levels.